Shalom to all! In today's Afyom Mishnah, we're going to read the Mishnah's Perek Hei Mishnah Ches, all the way through Perek Zayin Mishnah Dalet. And the Mishnah says, Ha'omer Ha'reila Machavas Lo Yov Marcheshes. If a person takes upon himself that he's going to bring a Minchas Machavas, he can't bring a Minchas Marcheshes, and same the other way around. Marcheshes Lo Yov Machavas. If he promises he's going to bring a Marcheshes, he can't bring a Machavas. Now, Ma Bein Machavas Marcheshes, so what's the difference between Machavas and Marcheshes? Elish Marcheshes Yesh Kisui, Machavas Ain Lo Kisui. The Rebbe Seglili. Rebbe Seglili tells us that the only difference is that a Marcheshes has a cover and a Machavas does not have a cover. However, Chanan Gamliel Amir says no. Marcheshes amuka umaser roich Hashem. A marcheshes is actually a deep pan and its deeds, which means the way that it's made is roich Hashem, which is like liquidy or jiggly and moves all around because there's a lot of oil. Or zumachvas tsafa umaser kashem. Tsafa literally means floating. In other words, it's a shallow pan where the sides of the pan look like they're floating above the top because they're so small. And the way that it's made is thick or hard, meaning it's a more solid dough. It's not liquidy because we don't want anything spilling over the edge. Moving on to Mishnah Tes, something similar. If a person says, I take upon myself to bring a mincha mafet tanur, so lo yavi mafet kupach umafet ru'afim umafet yaris harvim. He's not allowed to bring a mincha that was baked in a kupach, which is another way of cooking, but it was smaller than an oven. Ru'afim is basically broken pieces of pottery that were heated up and used to cook on, so he can't bake his mincha on those. And yaris harvim, which literally means Arabic pots, these were basically big holes dug in the ground that were coated with pottery and they were used to cook in. None of these are considered a tanur, so his mincha can't be baked in the tanur. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Amar, he argues, he says, Imratza, Yavi Mafa Kupach, he could bring the mincha even though it was baked in a kupach, because a kupach is very similar to a tanur. Now, let's say he says, Harei Minchas Mafe, I'm going to bring a Minchas Mafe, which just means a baked mincha. Lo Yavi Mechta Chalos Mechta Rikikin, he can't bring half his chalos and half his rikikin. Chalos are thicker, rikikin are thinner, and he can't bring half-half. He just has to choose one, either all chalos or all rikikin. Or Rabbi Shimon Mater, Meneshu Carbon Echad, Rabbi Shimon allows because all the same carbons. What does it make a difference if some are like this and some are like that? It all fits on the title of a minchas ma'afe, that it's baked and therefore it's fine. And the Mishnah tells us, Eilu menachas nikmatzos ushiorein lokehanim, the following menachas have a kmitza taken out of them, and the leftovers, whatever is left after the kmitza, which is basically most of the mincha, that goes to the kehanim, they could eat it. So which are these minchas? Number one, minchas soiles, a regular flour mincha, in which the kmitza is taken while it's still in its flour stage, that's put on the mizbeach, and then the rest of the processing is done with the mincha. Then we have hamachvas and marcheshes, these two menachas that we discussed at the end of the previous Perek, they're both fried in some sort of pan. V'hachalas v'rikikin, these are menachas that are baked in the oven, either thicker or thinner. Then there's minchas gayim, a mincha brought by a non-Jew, which is fine, he could donate a mincha. Minchas nashim, a mincha brought by a woman. Minchas ha'omer, the mincha that's the carbon omer. Minchas chayte, a mincha that's brought by a sinner. And minchas kenois, the mincha brought by a saita. All of these have a kmitza taken out of them, and the leftovers go to the kaihanim. Now Reb Shimon says, minchas chayte shel kaihanim nikmetzes, the minchas chayte of a kayin does have a kmitza taken out of it. The kaimetz is burned on mizbeach separately, and the shiraim, they're burned on mizbeach separately. Why is this? Well, because the pasuk tells us clearly, as we're going to see in the next mishnah, that the mincha of a kayin has to be totally burned. No part of the mincha of a kayin is going to be eaten. However, Shimon holds, since this kayin is bringing a minchas chayte, it needs to have the kmitza taken out of it, and it's just the kmitza and the shiraim are going to be burned separately. Moving on to mishnah beis, minchas kaihanim, uminchas kayin mashiach, uminchas nusachim. These three minachas, which is any mincha brought by a kayin, any mincha brought by the Kohen Mashiach, which is a Kohen Gadol, and Minchas Nesachim, which is a mincha that comes as part of the Nesachim attached to certain karbanos, all of them la mizbeach, are put on the mizbeach, they're totally burned, ve'ein bohem l'kayhanim, the kayhanim don't get any part of them. But zayafa kaycha mizbeach m'kaycha kayhanim, with this, the kaycha mizbeach is stronger than the kaycha kayhanim because everything is completely burned. Now we have the opposite, shtei halachem, v'lachem aponim, the shtei halachem, which are the two breads that are brought on Shavuos, and lachem aponim, which are brought every single week in the Beis HaMikdash, l'kayhanim, those go to the kayhanim, ve'ein bohem mizbeach, no part of them goes on the mizbeach. Ubazeh yafa kaycha kehanim kaycha mizbeach. With this, we have a kaycha kehanim being stronger than mizbeach, because again, as we just said, everything goes to the kehanim and nothing goes to the mizbeach. The Mishnah tells us kol menachas hanasus bekli, all menachas that are made only in a kli, and it's actually the majority of menachas, besides from mafet tanur, which is made in an oven, and that's not considered a kli for our purposes. So we're talking about basically all other menachas besides mafet tanur. To unas shalosh bat neshemen, they have to have three applications of oil. Yitziku ubelila umatan shem bekli kodem lasyason. These are the three. Yitzika means pouring, belila means mixing, and then there's matan shem bekli before it's made, meaning even before it's mixed and fried or whatever's done to it, oil's put into the kli. So this really are three things in opposite order. The hainu, the first thing that's done is matan shem bekli kodem lasyason, first oil's poured into the kli, then flour's put in, then we have belila, which is mixing it with oil, and then there's yitzika, which is pouring more oil on top of it. Now the Mishnah goes on to discuss mafet tanur, which does require some mixing of oil, but not all three that we just mentioned. So the Mishnah tells us, according to Rebbe, the chalas are mixed with oil, which means after they're baked in the oven, then they're broken into pieces and mixed with oil. Whereas the chomer say that no, soyless, it's while it's still in its flour stage before it's baked in the oven, that's when oil is mixed into it. Now we discussed the two different types of mafet tanur, which we've already mentioned previously. There's chalas and there's rikikin, so there's different ways to have the oil mix in with them. Hachalos to unis belila, the chalas, which are baked in the oven, they need mixing with oil, whereas the rikikin, meshuchen, the rikikin, which are the thinner ones, they're just mashuch, they just have oil applied on top of them, but not that they're mixed with oil. And ketzan mashchan, how is the mashicha of the oil done to them? Kimen chi, or ki, or kai, there's different ways of saying it. And this is a Greek letter, there's machlekes how it looks, maybe it looks like a U, maybe like a regular letter tes. There's other opinions as well. And hushar Hashem, and echol kehanim, the rest of the oil that's not used in the mixing of the mincha, that's eaten by the kehanim. And moving on to Mishnah Dalet, kol menachas anases bekli, all menachas that are made in a kli, to unis besisa, they need to be broken into pieces. In other words, when we take the kmitza from them, it's not done in the flour stage. We first do whatever processing is necessary with the flour and the oil. We fry them this way or fry them that way, and then they're going to be broken up into pieces. Only afterwards the kmitza is going to be taken. So how is this done? Minchas Yisrael, when we have Minchas Yisrael, this is excluding a mincha of a kain. It's basically any mincha that's not brought by a kain. After we have the ready-made chalos, that's what they're called. Koifel echel shnayim, it's folded one into two, and then shnayim larba, two into four. Umavdil, and then they're separated on the folds. So each one of the loaves, which we're going to see later on how many loaves are made out of each mincha, but each individual loaf is folded once and then folded again, so you have a total of four, and then they're separated on the fold. Now, minchas kehanim, a mincha brought by a kain, kaifel echel shnayim shnayim larba, it's folded one into two and two into four, but ve'enoy mavdil, it's not separated along the lines, it's just kept folded like that. Minchas kain ha-mashiach, and a mincha brought by the kain gadol, lo'im chapla, it wasn't folded over twice, just once. Now, Reb Shimon argues, and he says, minchas kehanim u minchas kain mashiach, both a mincha brought by regular kain or by the kain gadol, ain ben besisa, they're not broken up or crumbled at all, because a kmitza is not taken out of them due to the fact that the whole thing is burned on the mizbeach, as we've learned previously, and anything doesn't have kmitza taken, so it doesn't need to be broken, and therefore it doesn't need to be folded, and once it's fried, we just put it on the mizbeach and burn it. The Mishnah concludes by going back to a din regarding folding the menachos, v'kulin kezesim, all the pieces can't be larger than the size of a zayas and olive, so we have to fold it to make sure that each of these pieces isn't going to be bigger than that. The Mishnah tells us, kol menachos to unas shloish meis shifa v'chamesh meis be'ita. Every single mincha needs to have 300 rubbings and 500 hittings. What does this mean? So according to the majority of opinions, it's referring to all the way early in the process of taking the grain and getting it ready to grind it into flour. So in order to already start out the process with as little chaff and extras as possible, so each kernel of grain needs to be rubbed 300 times. That helps get off all the outside, and hit 500 times. That also further helps get off all the outside husk and chaff. Now the way that's done is that it's rubbed once, hit twice, rub twice, and then hit three times, and that whole process is done 100 times for a total of 300 rubbings and 500 hittings. And as we had just said, vashifa v'abi'ita b'chitim, this is done while it's still in its wheat stage, meaning while it's still in kernels. Now Rabbi Yamer, he says, af babatzek, the Rav takes out the word af, so korintam is just babatzek, meaning Rabbi Yasi says, this is done only to the dough, and that helps the dough become really smooth and really fine, and very well mixed. Mishnah continues, kol menachos bais eser eser, all the menachos are made into 10 different chalos. Chutz milachem apanim chavite kohen gadol, shein bais shtei mesrei, except for the lechem apanim, which is brought every single week in the base of Mikdash, and the chavite and the kohen gadol, which is brought every single day. Those are baked into 12 chalos. This is according to Rabbi Yehuda. So anytime a carbon mincha is brought, and we have all of our different amounts of oil and flour and the different ways that we're making it, the bottom line is the dough or the batter or however it's being made is separated into 10 separate chalos or loaves, except these two that we just mentioned, which is 12. Now Rav Meir says that no, kul and ba'ish shtei mesrei, all of them are separated into 12. They're baked as 12 loaves. Chutz mechalos toida v'hanaziros shein ba'ish eser eser, except for the chalos that come along with the carbon toida, which we're going to learn about in the next parak, and chalos that come along with the nazir's carbon, that's 10 loaves, not 12 loaves. Moving on to Mishnah Vav, now discussing how much flour needs to be used. Ha'aymer hayabat yisarin mishalosh sayin. The carbon aymer, which was brought on the second day of Pesach, and it came from barley, that was an yisarin of flour that started out as 3 sa'ah of wheat. Since it's fresh and it's barley, so it has a lot of husks and chaff, and there's a lot of impurities in it, we need to start out with 3 sa'ah to get all the way down to an yisarin of fine flour. Now shtei alechem, the shtei alechem that are brought on Shavuos, shnei asrinim mishalosh sayin, it's 2 asrinim from 3 sa'ah, that's because it comes from wheat, and wheat automatically has less impurities than barley, but still, since it's fresh, it's from the newest crop, it's going to have a decent amount, which is why we start out with 3, and we get down to 2 asrinim, or lechem apanim. The lechem apanim, which again is brought every single week in the base of Mikdash, asrin v'arba asrinim, asrin v'arba sayin, it's 24 asrinim from 24 sa'ah, and that's because it's made from wheat, which is already older, so has much less chaff, many fewer impurities, therefore we don't have to start out with as much, and we still get quite quite a lot of refined flour. We are discussing the amounts of flour that are necessary for certain menachos. The Mishnah tells us, Ha'omer ha'yemenupe b'shloishesrei nafa. The carbon omer was sifted with 13 sieves or sifters. And it's like we explained in the previous Mishnah, since it comes from fresh barley, which has a lot of impurities and chaff and husks and whatnot, it needs to be refined a lot. So it has to go through 13 siftings. Whereas the shtei alechem, which is brought in Shavuos, from wheat, b'shteimesrei, only needs to go through 12 siftings. Whereas lechem apanim, b'achasesrei, the lechem apanim only needs to go through 11. Now, Rav Shimon says, there's no set amount how many times you have to sift it. Elosoilus menupa called tzarcha hayamevi. It was very simple. It just needed to be finely sifted flour, and that's all. It sometimes required more siftings, sometimes fewer. The bottom line is, it needed to be finely sifted flour. How do we know this? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, lakachta soilus v'fisa isa, and you shall take soilus and you shall bake it. And we learn from here, ashtei menupa called tzarcha just simply has to be finely sifted flour, no more, no less, and there's no set amount of how many times it has to be sifted, according to Rav Shimon. And now we've gone to Parak Zayin Mishnah Aleph. Now, in this parak, for the most part, we're going to be discussing a carbon taida. This carbon was brought for one of four reasons. A person who's crossed over to ocean successfully or a desert successfully, was very sick and became healed, or got let out of jail. It's very similar to a carbon shlamim. However, something unique to the carbon taida, as we have mentioned previously, and we're going to be focusing on now, is the fact that it comes along with lechem. Actually, it has 40 lechamim, and remember, the term lechem over here means loaves, not the classic word bread that we translate lechem into nowadays. It just means loaves. And these 40 lechamim are actually four different types that each have 10 loaves. Three of the styles, which means 30 of them, are matzah, and one of the styles, which is remaining 10, is chametz. And this is one of the unique times that chametz is brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Basically, every single mincha is matzah, as we have learned earlier in the Masechta, but 10 of the lechamim of the Karban Taida are chametz. Now we discuss at greater length. The Mishnah says as follows, HaToida ha'isaba chametz sa'in Yerushalmiyos shehein shesh midbariyos. The Karban Taida was 5 saw of flour that were the Yerushalayim measurement of a saw, which is 6 of the Midbar measurement. When the Yidden were traveling through the Midbar, there was a measurement of a saw, and then when they got into Eretz Yisrael, the Chachamim enlarged the measurement by a fifth, and so they start calling it a Yerushalmi measure. The same amount has to be brought for the Karban Toida. It just depends who you're speaking to and what measurement you're referring to, depends what you're going to say. So the Mishnah is clarifying that the Lachamim of the Toida are made out of 5 Yerushalmi saw, which is 6 Midbari saw. How much is this? Shtei Eifas, 2 Eifas, and Ha'efa Shalish Sayin, 1 Eifa is 3 saw, which broken down further into smaller measurements is a total of Esrim Yisaroin, that's 20 Yisaroin. And here's a key over here, Asara Lachametz v'Asara Lamatzah. Of our 40 Lachamim, which are made with a total of 20 Yisaroin of flour, 10 of those Yisaroins, which means half of the flour, are just for the Chametz loaves, and the other half is for the Matzah loaves. Now remember what we had said, that there's 10 Chametz loaves and 30 Matzah loaves, which means that the Chametz loaves are much bigger than the Matzah ones, because they use half the flour. And that's what the Mishnah further clarifies, Asara Lachametz, 10 of these Yisaroins are being used for the Chametz loaves, and that means Yisaroin L'chala, each challah, 10 challahs are being baked, so each challah is one full Yisaroin, whereas Asara L'matzah, the 10 Yisaroins of flour that are being used for the matzah loaves, and for matzah shloisha minim, matzah, as we had said, has 3 different types. What are those types? They're called chalos, urikikin, and revucha. So that's a total of 30 loaves. Nimtzu shloisha esroinos ushlish l'chomin. It turns out that we're only using 3 1/3 sarains of flour for every min, for every type, and that means that shalish chalos li sarain, that there's 3 chalos to 1 sarain. So when it comes to the chametz loaves, each loaf is 1 Yisaroin, whereas when it comes to the matzah loaves, it turns out that there's 3 chalos to 1 Yisaroin. Now, if you're wondering, what about the Yerushalmi measure? So the Mishnah clarifies that, but midi Yerushalmis hayu shloishim kav. In the Yerushalmi measure, these 5 saw equal 30 kav, because a saw has 6 kav. Turns out, the chamisha asal chametz, chamisha asal matzah, there's 15 kav of flour for the chametz loaves, 15 for the matzah loaves, chamisha asal chametz kav chatzi l'chala. So the 15 saw of flour for the chametz loaves makes it that each loaf is going to be a kav and a half, whereas the chamisha asal matzah, the 15 kav that are used for the matzah, and again, as we had said, v'matzah shloisha minim, chalas rikikin revucha, the matzah is 3 separate minim, chalas rikikin revucha, so it's a total of 30, nimtzu chameshas kav l'chol min. Turns out that every min is only made out of 5 kav of flour, shtei chalas l'kav, that's 2 chalas for 1 kav of flour. Now, at the beginning of the parak in the previous Mishnah, we started talking about karbanos taida, and perhaps the main feature of the taida is that it comes along with 40 lechamim, 40 different loaves, 30 which are matzah, 10 which are chametz, and here we're going to talk about other karbanos that come along with lechamim. The Mishnah tells us, hamiluim, these are the karbanos brought at the inauguration of the Mishkan that Aaron and his sons brought, hayu bain kematzah shebataida, they came along with loaves like the matzah of the karban taida, chalos rikikin revucha, so it's 3 different types, 3 different styles, those were brought along with the miluim, whereas hanazirus, a karban brought by a nazir, hayu sabah shtei yadais bematzah shebataida, that comes along with lachamim as well, but only two out of the three styles that the Taida has. Chalis Yerukikin, ve'ein ba revucha, but there's no revucha. Nimtzu, it turns out, asar kav in Yerushalmi is that the ones brought by a Nazir were 10 kav based off of the Yerushalmi measurement. Shehen shisha srenes v'aduyon, that's 60 sarons and the extra. This word aduyon is the word oid, which means a little bit more, but it's the plural form of oid. So you say aduyon, and so it's basically 6 2/3 isarons, that's how much flour was used in the carbon of the Nazir. Now we go back to discussing Taida, which again we had said, there was 40 different lachamim. Says the Mishnah, mikulan hayu noitel echer mehasara truma, from each one of the styles of lachamim. Four different styles, each one has 10 lachamim, so it's a total of 40 lachamim. The kain would take one out of every style as a truma, that was for the kaihanim. Shenemar, the pasuk says, v'hikri menu echer mikol carbon truma l'Hashem, and he shall be makriv one from every carbon as a truma for Hashem. So one loaf was taken from each of the styles. Now what do we learn from this pasuk? When it says the word echad, one, that tells us shelo yitel paros, it shouldn't be a broken piece. It has to be a full loaf. And when the pasuk says mikol carbon, from every carbon, that means you call a carbon is shavin, all have to be equal. In other words, there has to be 10 of each style for a total of 40. And also, the shelo yitel mi carbon l'chaveroi, we can't take from one carbon to another, which means we can't take two loaves from one style and none from the other. It's one loaf from each style. And lastly, when the pasuk says l'kayin hazarik es dam ha-shlamim lo yiyeh, to the kayin who's sprinkling the blood of the shlamim, to him it shall be, this tells us that the kaihanim were serving the base of mikdash when this carbon tide is being brought. They get to keep these lachamim, whereas vashar nechal vailim, the rest of the lachamim, the other 36 that are remaining, those are eaten by the owners. And on to the next Mishnah. Now the following is very important to know. Anything dedicated or consecrated to the base of mikdash has a certain level of kedusha. The most basic is called kedusha's damim. As for example, when somebody donates something to the Bedek HaBayis, the fund that's used for the upkeep and maintenance of the base of mikdash, it has kedusha's damim, and that's one level. Now a higher level is called kedusha's aguf, where the actual thing itself is kadosh. This kedusha usually applies to a carbon, and there's a number of nafkaminas, a number of practical differences in between kedusha's damim and kedusha's aguf. For example, if we have an animal which only has kedusha's damim, if it becomes pasul or it gets a mum, it becomes disqualified for some reason or another, or maybe it becomes tameh, so it could be redeemed. We could transfer its kedusha off of it, no problem, and then the animal is just a regular animal, and we use that money to purchase a new animal. However, kedusha's haguf is unlike that. If it becomes disqualified for some reason, or tameh, or something else happens to it, sometimes it has to be burned or just left to die. We don't necessarily just say, oh, let's just be paidah, let's transfer this kedusha off onto money. So now we discuss this in regards to carbon taida. As we know, the taida comes along with 40 different lachamim, and when those lachamim are made, they only have kedusha's damim. When do they get elevated to kedusha's aguf? That's when the shechita of the carbon happens. Now we see how this would make a difference in a number of given situations. The Mishnah tells us, Hashechas ha-taida b'fnim. He shechs the carbon taida inside, that's inside the azara where it's supposed to be shechted, but v'lach mechutz l'chayma. The breads of the taida are outside of the wall. They're outside of Yerushalayim. We know they have to be eaten in Yerushalayim, but they're outside for whatever reason. Loi kadosh alechem. The lechem has not become kadosh. It's not the higher level of kedushas aguf. It's just kedushas damim. For example, if it becomes tamei, we could just be paid it, no problem, and get new lechamim. We wouldn't have to burn them. Also, shchata achalei karma batanur. Let's say shechta the karma taida before the bread had fully crusted over in the oven. Avilu karma kulon. Even if all of them had crusted over, chutz me'ech mehen. Just one of them wasn't fully baked. Loi kadosh alechem. The lechem isn't this elevated level of kedusha. Now let's say shchata chutzas manu chutzam kaima. He shechta the karma taida with an improper intention, or chutzas manu chutzam kaima, which we discussed extensively at the beginning of this mesechta and meseches vachem as well, where the thought is that he's going to do one of the avodas beyond the proper time or outside of the proper place. So in this case, kadash halechem, the lechem does attain this kedusha, even though the carbon's pasul. At the end of the day, it was shechted properly in the proper place, and the lechem was in the proper place and was fully baked. So the lechem now has kedusha as a gof, and it's pasul, which means we would have to burn it. However, shchata v'nimtzas treifa. Let's say the carbon tide was shechted and it turned out to be a treifa, which is a certain defect inside of it that renders it completely pasul from the offset. We can't know about it until after shechita because it's inside the animal. But once we discover that it was a treifa, that means that it was always pasul and was really never able to be used as a carbon. So in this case, loy kadash halechem, the lechem doesn't have this elevated level of kedusha. Now let's say shchata v'nimtzis balas mum. It was shechted and afterwards they discovered that it had a mum, it had a blemish. This is an external blemish, but specifically referring to a very small one. Reb Elazar Omer kadash. Reb Elazar says that the bread did become kadash, whereas Rechama, when they say loy kadash, it's not kadash because even though this is a very small mum, for example, a little thing in its eye, that completely passes the carbon and then it's no different than a treifa. Another din, shchata shloy lishma. Let's say the taida was shechted shloy lishma, or v'chein el hamiluim v'chein shnei kivsei atzer shchata shloy lishma. The ram that's brought in the miluim, which you remember is what Aaron and his sons brought at the inauguration of the Mishkan, which also came along with lachamim, and the kivsei atzer, they also came along with lachamim. So if those were shechted shloy lishma, loy kadash alechem. Here too, the lechem is not kadash. We continue with the same theme of the previous Mishnah, which is when the carbon taida was shechted and there was a problem with it. Does that passel the lechem, the breads that come along with it? So here we have something similar. The Mishnah tells us Nesachim shekadshu b'chli v'nimtza zevach pasol. Nesachim that come along with a carbon, for example, carbon shlamim comes along with a sachim, which is a mincha and wine, and they're already put into the kli sharis, they're already put into the holy vessel, and that means that they became elevated to a higher level of kedusha, which is called kedusha zaguf, that we learned about in the previous mishnah, and then it turned out that the carbon itself was pasol. So im yesh sham zevach acher, if there's another carbon that needs nesachim, so yikru imay, take these nesachim and bring them with the other carbon. But if not, you pasol b'lino, so we have to pasol them with lino, which means we have to let them stay overnight, then they're completely pasol, and they're not used whatsoever. Now going back to carbon toida, and continuing to discuss what the l'chamim have to do with it, so we have a number of different scenarios. Vlad toida, the offspring, the child of a carbon toida, since it could be a female, so it can have a child as well, let's say he designated animal as a toida, and then it gave birth before he shechted it, utmurasa, and its exchange, there's a concept called tumura. Let's say a person has a carbon, and he decides, you know what, I want to transfer its kedusha onto a different animal. Maybe he found a nicer animal, so he thinks he's doing a good thing. The Torah says no go. It is usher to do a tamura. It's usher to transfer the kedusha from one animal onto another. And if he does do so, actually both of them are kadosh. He gets a lav. He might even get malchus, but both of them are kadosh. So let's say he did this with a carbon taida. Let's say he lost his carbon taida. He designated a new one in its stead, and then he found the old one. So here we have three different animals. They're extra, if you will, but they have the kedusha of a carbon taida. Ainon to unin lechem. They don't need to have lechem brought along with them. Shnemar, because the pasuk says, v'hekrav al zevach ha-toida, and he shall be makriv along with the toida. What do we learn from here? Ha-toida to una lechem, the original toida, it needs lechem. V'loi vlada, not its offspring. V'loi chalifasa, not the replacement. V'loi timurasa, not that was exchanged for. To una lechem, none of these need lechem. We're going to start for the day and pick up tomorrow with Mishnah Hay, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.